The Old Testament reading is from Leviticus chapter 19. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest, and you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you. Since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened in, with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Luke. Luke chapter 10. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, he he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these 3, do you think, proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. This parable has a surprise ending, but it starts out with an ugly scene, a conflict. A man described here as a lawyer, someone we might describe as an expert in the Old Testament law, stood up, it says, to put Jesus to the test, to challenge Jesus. His intent was to publicly embarrass or discredit Jesus. Why? Well, Lutheran pastor Eric Sorensen from New York City makes the point that whenever anyone shows too much compassion towards sinners, somebody will complain. Somebody will decide that it's necessary to stand up for righteousness. Well, that sounds good. But that happened to Jesus. It happened to the prolific Apostle Paul. It happened to the brilliant church father Augustine and the great reformer Martin Luther. It happened to a lot of people who clung to the gospel as the only hope for mankind. They were criticized for too much compassion. So here in our reading, this law scholar we just read about was convinced that Jesus was not standing up for righteousness, but instead he was forgiving sinners, proclaiming forgiveness to the very obviously, clearly guilty. In other words, way too much compassion toward people like the terrified woman who'd just been caught in the act of adultery and was dragged into the temple courtyard naked. Her guilt was unquestionable, but Jesus forgave her. Read John 8. Or the town prostitute who crashed the party at Simon the Pharisee's house, weeping at the feet of Jesus, creating a big scene. Jesus forgave the prostitute. Read Luke 7. Or Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, who'd been ripping people off for years, collecting taxes from his fellow Jews for the occupying Romans, collecting far more than required and lining his own pockets. He was universally despised, considered a scumbag for good reason. Jesus forgave him. Read Luke 19. Jesus was regularly accused of being too soft on crime, too compassionate toward the sinful. So in our parable today, this expert in Old Testament law asked Jesus, what must I do to receive eternal life? He asked Jesus the question publicly. He wanted Jesus to reveal himself to be too soft on sinners. Wanted Jesus to prove to everyone that he certainly couldn't be the Messiah. After all, he didn't stand up for God's law. But Jesus refused to take the bait. He threw the question back at the legal expert. What does the law say? Jesus asked. Love the Lord your God with everything you've got, and love your neighbor as yourself. Correct, answered Jesus. Now just do this, and you will live forever. That's all. Pretty simple. Just do this, and you will live. The expert in the law failed to force Jesus to discredit himself. But we need to give him a little credit. At least he did recognize that Jesus had backed him into a corner. Just do this and live? Maybe that's not as simple as it sounds. So the legal expert pushed back. Love my neighbor? Okay. So who's my neighbor? And Jesus began the parable. I think most of you know this. Jews absolutely hated Samaritans and vice versa. Samaritans were the descendants of Jews who had intermarried with Assyrians after the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom of Israel 7 centuries earlier. They practiced a bastardized version of Judaism and paganism. The Jews considered the Samaritans heretics and no better than dogs. A good Jew refused to socialize with, work with, or even eat with a Samaritan. In fact, good Samaritan is an oxymoron to a first century Jew. There was no such thing as a good Samaritan. You know, exactly 15 years ago, I was finishing up my vicarage year, my internship at Emmaus Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'd lead a Bible study class before worship every Sunday morning. And I remember the Sunday that this parable was our gospel text. We read through the parable, and then I asked the class, who do you identify with in the parable? What character? By that I meant when you read a book or you watch a movie, sometimes you imagine yourself to be one of the characters. So who do you imagine yourself to be in the parable of the Good Samaritan? The priest or the Levite? The observant Jews who walked past, who ignored their fellow Jew, who lay dying on the road, justifying their inaction because they didn't want to touch a dead body and be considered unclean? Do you identify with one of those guys? Or how about the Samaritan? He's kind of the hero of the story. Do you identify with him? The guy who steps in and at great risk and expense saves a fellow human being, even a hated Jew who hates him? Who do you identify with? About half the class raised their hands and said, truthfully, based on their own past behavior, they'd probably be more like the priest and the Levite who walked past the dying man. They were honest. The other half of the class raised their hands and said they saw themselves as the Samaritan who rescued the Jew. Well, nobody would argue against the idea that that's what you should do. That's the golden rule. Do unto others. The discussion continued for a few minutes, and it was time to go. But before dismissing the class, I asked, is there anyone else who identified with somebody in the story that we didn't mention? One hand went up. It was Amanda. I knew Amanda pretty well. She was a young woman in her late 20s with a lot on her plate. She had 3 kids, the oldest of which was in my confirmation class. Amanda was smart, but overwhelmed. She was raising 3 kids by herself and struggling horribly with an addiction to alcohol. But that morning in adult Bible class, Amanda raised her hand when I asked if there were any other characters in the parable that anyone identified with. She raised her hand and she said, yes, I identified with the man who was beaten up and left for dead. Amanda got it right. She understood this parable better than any of us. A month later, when I was finishing my vicarage at Emmaus Lutheran Church, Amanda was in the county lockup. She'd come home drunk and physically abused her kids. Her oldest daughter, the one in my confirmation class, called 911. The dispatcher heard everything, and Amanda was arrested. We're all like the Jewish man who was beaten up and left for dead. We're beaten up by our own sin and the consequences of our sin. We're beaten up by the terrible disappointments of life. We're beaten up by tragedy and sadness and pain. This week is a perfect example. We're beaten up by staggering loss. We're beaten up by living. And yet we're not left to die. Ever. Ever. We're either taken to heaven, or we're slowly, tenderly nurtured by the one who died in our place, in order that you can be assured of life forever. We're saved by the one who sometimes we've hated, who we've often dismissed, who we've often disbelieved. We're rescued by Jesus, the Good Samaritan. So us who today cannot comprehend why things happen as they do, can weep knowing that someday morning will break, regardless of how long the night, and you will experience joy and peace and love and a great reunion in heaven. And all our doubt and our anger will be resolved, and our sin covered up forever, hidden behind the righteous robes of Jesus, the Good Samaritan, who has rescued us from death forever. So be at peace. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us and your compassion and your forgiveness toward us. Help us to recognize what you have done for us and cause it to fill us with gratitude toward you. And because you have done it and we have not, also fill us with humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.